So the reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. And you'll find that in the Church Bibles on page 724. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. Those who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sally. Now Joel is going to come and teach us God's word and bring us the New Testament reading.
Thanks, Rob. It's actually both Joels. I'm going to read and then Joel is going to teach. So Luke chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 to 20. Sorry, you can see the page numbers 1029 if you need that. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, and these are some of the words Sally just read, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I'm the other Joel. I'm Joel Madur. I'm the assistant minister. Please keep the Bible open. We'll look at this passage together. Before we look, let me pray. Yes. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you that we could gather together as your people. Thank you that you have promised that you will be with us as we gather, as two or three are gathered. Thank you that you are there to shine the light of the truth in our hearts. And we pray that you would do that even today and help us to live the new life you have given us. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 3, we have a Bible passage where we encounter a message that God has given to John, a message that calls for a radical change in the lives of those who hear it. It is a message of repentance. And this is an uncomfortable message, probably, to deliver in the first century. And it remains an uncomfortable message to deliver today, perhaps even more so in a 21st century setting. We live in a world where people want to follow their own desires, where no one dares tell you how to think or how to live, even if that someone is God. Yet the message of repentance lies at the very heart of the Christian faith. It calls us to turn away from living as though we are the center of the universe, and instead to live for God, who truly is the center of all things. It calls us to admit before God that we have not lived as we should and ask for forgiveness and help to love him with all our heart, soul, and strength. The importance of repentance cannot be overstated. There is no gospel and there is no Christianity without it. People can say, come, Jesus will give you health. Come, Jesus will give you wealth and fill a church full of people in the thousands. But without a call of repentance, there is no true followers of Jesus in churches. In today's passage, God's word comes to John the Baptist. John proclaims a message of repentance. We will see how different people responded to that message, and we will be challenged to consider how we ourselves will respond to this message. Now we look at this passage based on two headings, and the first heading is God's message, and the second will be human response. For firstly, God's message. So John proclaimed God's message of repentance. So here in Luke chapter 3, we are introduced to John's ministry by anchoring him firmly in real life human history. So if you read the first few verses, it says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Ituria and Trachonitis and Sanius, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priests of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. It's a way of saying, like we say, during the first year of Donald Trump's second rule in, as an American president, when Keir Starmer was in power, when Sarah Maloli was the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's just a way of saying that this happened during a time in history. And he says it happened in a specific time in a real world among real people. When these rulers were in power, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. God's word did not come to a palace or to a temple, but to a prophet living in the margins. And what the word of God came to John, it was not meant to remain with him. John was sent to proclaim it. And you see in verse 3, John went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So here we see John went around and preached this message of repentance and called people to baptism. But he's not the one who forgave sins. He was a messenger. He was preparing people for the one who would come. He would be preparing the way for the Lord, as it later mentioned in the prophecy. If you look down at verse 4, he says he's the one who prepares the way for the Lord. As Luke mentions in this prophecy, he says, the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. So this prophecy is from the book of Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament, which was written 700 years before John came preaching in the wilderness. And now Luke is saying it's this prophecy is getting fulfilled during the first century. And the voice that is crying out is saying, the Lord is coming to bring about God's salvation. God has promised that he would come to rescue his people, not only the Jews. If you look down in verse 6, it says, all people will see God's salvation. So what salvation means is that God is willing to come down and forgive the wrongdoings of people and will welcome people into a right relationship with him. John is just a voice that is crying out that God is coming soon to offer salvation. He wants us to do what is needed to receive the salvation that is coming from the Lord. John was a voice that announced the arrival of the Lord. He prepared people to receive what the Lord has to offer. When we say John was a voice, in some sense, we are saying it's like a voice, like someone saying to you, did you know that Harry Styles is going to be in London in June performing at the Wembley Stadium? Have you bought your tickets? Have you done all that is needed to meet him in person? It's not a perfect analogy because you can choose not to listen to this voice, perhaps because you're a Taylor Swift fan, or maybe you're not a fan of pop music at all. You won't lose much in life if you ignore these voices. But John is a voice that Luke says we must listen. John understands that if we don't listen to him, we fall under the judgment of God. If you look down at verse 7, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruits in keeping with repentance. There stood John in the wilderness with crowds flocking to him to be baptized in water. John didn't say, oh, you're very warm welcome to you all who have come to the wilderness today. No, he was more like, I haven't even preached the message of repentance yet, but someone has warned you, wicked people, about God's judgment. You have turned up to be baptized. That's interesting. John was no people pleaser, isn't it? Or He doesn't have a polished public speaking skills. He didn't use funny intros to get the audience by his side. But the fact is, he was a faithful messenger of God. He delivered the message that was given to him by God. And in verse 8, John says, to those wanting to be baptized, produce fruits in keeping with repentance. And he then tells them not to give any excuse, saying, Abraham is our father. In modern terms, he's saying, don't say I'm from a Christian country. Don't say I'm attending the Church of England church. Don't rely on your religious heritage or think that just because a vicar has baptized you, you're okay. What John would say is, none of that would help if you do not live like a Christian from Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. Can others see your life and recognize the fruits of the Spirit? Most importantly, can God see those fruits in you? If not, John warns you in verse 9. If you look down in verse 9, the axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This is a countryside analogy, isn't it? If a fruit tree does not bear fruit, the farmer is going to cut down and destroy it. John's message is just not doom and gloom for those who feel they don't match up to the God standards. As I mentioned earlier, John knew his job was to prepare people for the one coming after him. He preached repentance because the one coming after him would be able to offer forgiveness, offer a relationship, and save people from all nations. We are in the book of Luke in chapter 3. Later on, if you go home and read chapter 4, we see Jesus begins his ministry. And in chapter 5, Jesus shows that he has the power to forgive sins. In chapter 19, Jesus welcomes Zacchaeus, a very sinful man who confessed his wrongdoings. Jesus says, today the salvation has arrived in this man's household. In the book of Luke, Jesus is the Lord God for whom John prepared the way. Jesus was far better than John. John talked about the need of forgiveness. Jesus offered it. John prepared a people to be ready for the Lord. Jesus offered salvation to all who came to him. John also goes on to speak about Jesus' greatness in verse 15. If you look down from verse 15 onwards, for those people who were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Messiah is God's chosen king. John answered to them, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. So in some sense, John is saying he's in no way in match to Jesus. And he say, goes on to say, Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John talked about God's judgment, but John again shows that Jesus will come one day to deliver judgment on all nations. And then in verse 18, Luke points out that with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. Luke understands the message of repentance is good news, because for those who admit they have done wrong, God is sending a Savior. Jesus enables people to bear fruits of the Spirit that is acceptable to God. How did people respond to it? Not everyone responded the same way. There was a mixed response, and which we'll look at under the second heading, the human response. So you could see that some accepted the call. So if you could see from verse 10 onwards, it says, when John warned them that just because they are the children of Abraham, they cannot feel safe. There are people who reply to John the Baptist and say, what should we do then? So we see in verse 10, what should we do then? The crowd asks. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has found should do the same. Anyone who has food should do the same. Then even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you require to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. I think in these teachings that John gave helped the audience make some kind of resolutions about money and ethics in work life. However, in the Bible we understand the more when people try to put them in practice, the more they will realize that these resolutions are hard to keep, much like New Year resolutions. John's hope was that this struggle to do what is good will make them realize that they need help that comes from the Savior who comes after him. And look for the baptism that comes from Jesus to be able to be strengthened to do the good works. So in God, and John in some way was preparing the way for people to be open to what Jesus has said about him. But not everyone was ready to accept John's message. Some of them rejected his message, and one of the person who rejected the message is mentioned in, if you read from verse 19 onwards, you could see the person who rejected it. And when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in the prison. Not everyone wanted to ask, what should we do when John preached the message of repentance? Some didn't want to listen. We see here Herod, he's kind of a king over a certain area. He completely rejects the message. He already has done a lot of evil things. He goes on to do more evil by arresting John and putting him in prison. Later on in Luke 23, we see Herod also meets Jesus, but he ends up ridiculing and mocking Jesus. That's the other trajectory that life goes in when you are not open to the message of repentance. You think you are okay without the help of God? You think you can do good without the help of what Jesus offers? And the life that takes you down is not the same as the life where you get the help from Jesus and work towards doing good works. So there it is. The people in the first century had a choice. They had a choice to accept John's message of repentance. They had a choice to reject God's message of repentance. And we too have a choice this morning. How will we respond to this message of repentance? If you're not a Christian, the question is, do you see the need to say sorry to God? Others might say you're a good person. Certainly, we are not the ones mentioned in Jeffrey Epstein's files. We have a lot to think we feel better and good than us and many of the outsiders. But the real question is, how does God see you? Now, do you think God will call you to repent? Do you need to turn to Jesus for a right relationship with God? These are things for you to think about and talk with your Christian friends. And if you want to talk to someone up front, you're very welcome to talk about it. If you are a Christian, this is a message we must hold on to and proclaim. We need to be the John the Baptist of our time. We need to call our children to repentance. If we have opportunity, we need to share the message of repentance to our neighbors and colleagues to put their trust in Jesus. Repent and turn to Christ. That's the gospel. As a church, we must clearly proclaim the message of repentance. It is through this message of repentance that the world can be certain that Jesus is different from any other gods proclaimed by any other religion. As we saw in the book of Luke, Jesus alone can offer the forgiveness of sins and true salvation. Others can be certain about the message of Jesus only when we hold on to the message of repentance. Let me pray as we close. Father God, help us as a church, but also as individual believers, to hold on to the message of repentance and preach it faithfully so that others can be certain of who Jesus is and find salvation in him. Amen.